There is a word from the Lord on this morning. Well, actually, now it's afternoon. But our word this morning comes from the prophet Joel, chapter 2, verses 21 through 26. And I'm going to close it out with the apostle James, chapter 5, verses 7 through 8. And I'm going to read it in your hearing. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately. And he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years the locust has eaten, the canker worms and the caterpillars and the palmer worms, my great army which I sent among you. But ye shall eat in plenty, be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. James chapter 5, verses 7 through 8. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord is coming near. Let us pray. God, I thank you for allowing me to stand behind this sacred desk. Lord, I thank you for looking beyond my faults and seeing my need, my desire to serve you. God, I ask now for your spirit to take control. Lord, get right now into my mouth, into my throat, oh God, and allow me to bring forth the word that you have shared with me, God, that I might bring it to your people, that they might be edified and you might be glorified. Yes. Oh Lord, I bless your name and I give you praise and I thank you right now and I count it done. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. If I was to tag our sermon, our time together this morning with a title, it would be, The Drought is Over. In our reading and hearing on today, we have shared an Old Testament scripture from the prophet Joel and a New Testament scripture from the apostle James. These two scriptures both speak to us about the now and what is to come. The now is what God is doing now in our earthly walk and what is coming for our heavenly walk. The prophet Joel was called out by God to interpret the situation that was present in the land. Locusts had come and devastated the land, destroying all the crops, leaving no food for the people or the livestock. God is always looking for an opportunity to bless and restore his people, but will not do when there is unrepented sin and unfaithfulness among the people. There was a sinful lifestyle and idolatry in the land, and the people thought, because God had not rebuked them before, that he was going to continue to allow them to live any kind of way. So God raised up Joel out of Judah to go and tell the people why things were so bad, why the crops had been ravaged by the army of locusts. In other times, God had allowed great armies to come and to plummet the land and to take the people into captivity. But this time, God decided to use nature to turn the people around. God being the creator of all life, God can use whatever he wants, whomever he wants, however he wants, to accomplish his will. The people turned and did what they wouldn't usually do. They repented, they fasted, and they prayed. God had their attention. When Joel came with the interpretation of what God was doing, the people got themselves together and did what was right and pleasing in the sight of God. It's too bad we have to show off and run around like fools, knowing full well that the lives we're living is unholy and certainly displeasing to God. It's too bad that we will not adhere to the word of God until God comes and give us a spanking. It's too bad we make excuses for our behavior as if God cannot see through us. Men may not know, but God knows everything. He knows about our going in and our coming out. Man sees the outside, but God sees the heart. Man sees the smiling faces, but God sees the wicked ways, the wicked thinking, the wicked behavior. The great news is that God is like a father standing up, going down the street looking for his children, waiting for them to come home. Here we have the prophet Joel, God's messenger, who has come knocking at the door of God's people's hearts, saying, this mess, you created it, this drought, and God has allowed it to get your attention. The trouble you're going through, God has allowed it to get you back. This hardship you are experiencing, God has allowed it so that he can save you from yourself. Now, and Joel said to the people leading up to these verses that we have read, and I'm reading from the Message translation now, verses 12 through 16. It says, but there also is this. It is not too late. Come back to me and really mean it. Come fasting and weeping, sorry for your sins. Change your life, not just your clothes. Come back to God, your God, and here is why. God is kind and merciful. He takes a deep breath, puts up with a lot. The most patient God, extravagant in love, always ready to cancel catastrophes. Wow. Who knows? Maybe he'll do it now. Maybe he'll turn around and show pity. Maybe when all is said and done, there will be a blessing full and robust from God. Yes. Blow the ram's horn in Zion. Declare a day of repentance, a holy day. Call a public meeting. Get everybody there. Consecrate the congregation. Make sure the elders come. But bring the children too. Even the nursing babies, every man, every woman on their honeymoon, interrupt them, get them in here. Between the sanctuaries, entrance and altar, let the priest, God's servant, weep tears of repentance. Let them intercede. Have mercy, God, on your people. Don't abandon your heritage to contempt. Don't let the pagans take over and rule them and sneer and say, where is your God now? We are living in times when we are seeing things that have never been seen before. People are doing anything, behaving any kind of way, treating each other any kind of way, forgetting that God who created them see all things. Just recently, last weekend, in fact, my cousin's son, a 16-year-old young man, asked his parents if he could go to a party. His father told him that he could go, but he had to be back home by curfew time, which was 10 p.m., leaving the party at 9:30 to get home by curfew. As he stepped outside of the building, a group of boys looking to kill another boy shot and killed him. And as if taking his life wasn't enough, they went on Facebook and bragged about the one that they wanted got away, but they got little shorty. I tell you, God is looking for a raiment, a church that will stand on his word and live the life he's called us to live, that we might be an example to the world. God is looking for some real servants, those who recognize that only what you do for Christ will last. You see, God is looking for some committed people who are not looking to take his honor and his glory, but know that if it had not been for the Lord on your side, where would we be today? The day for playing church is over. The signs are all around us. People are killing people. There is lawlessness in the land. Even nature is calling out to us through the storms, through the earthquakes, through the tsunamis, the record-breaking polar vortex temperatures today, and the bright sunny spring day tomorrow. Even the animals sense the shift in the atmosphere. First time in history, the snow owls migrated from Canada to Florida. They left. Why did they left? They left because of the polar vortex. You know that ice age thing we had sweeping through here last week. They left because there was a drought in the land. You see, the bees, they're dying in record numbers because of the confusion of the weather patterns. Without bees to pollinate the crops, we are going to have a shortage of food, a drought in the land. Listen up, people. If we don't stop shouting in here and acting like fools out there, the drought is not going to come to an end. We have to stop pretending that we love God, yet living ungodly lives. We have to stop saying we love God and hate our neighbors. We have to stop having a form of worship unto God, but really worship Him in spirit and in truth. Somebody might say, well, we don't have no drought here. We don't have no shortage of food. Just go over there to Pathmark and ShopRite. There's plenty of food. But I'm standing here to blow the trumpet in Zion. There is a drought in the land. Drought is not just about food. There comes a time in everyone's life they'll experience a drought of some type. There might be the drought of health when it seems like there's no end to sight to your physical problem. There might be a drought of finance, which seems like the bills are coming faster than the money to pay them. It may be a drought on your job because you've lost the enjoyment of what you've been doing. There may be a drought in your marriage because you're staying together, not because you love each other, but because of the children. God is waiting for you and for me to stop saying we will obey Him, yet doing whatever we want to do and not doing what He has told us to do. We have to serve the Lord with gladness. We have to come and serve God in the beauty of holiness. We have to come nigh unto God, and He will come see about us. I stand here to blow the trumpet in Zion. There's a drought in the land. Now Israel repented. After Joel had a little talk with them. Sometimes we just need people to have a little talk with us. And God will send somebody to wake you up. Joel went to Israel to wake them up. Now when Joel went to them, Israel repented. They fasted and they prayed and turned back to God, recognizing that they had sinned against God. After they turned their lives back to God, then God instructed Joel to tell them a few things. First, Joel, he said, tell the people, don't be afraid. Joel's message, and this message is not to put us in a perpetual state of fear. This message is a message of hope, but it requires us to do something. Just like we did something to get here, we have to do something to turn this thing around. Don't be afraid of your situation, because God, Jehovah Jireh, we serve, is able to restore. He's able to provide for His people. Don't be afraid of past mistakes, thinking that Jehovah Shalom, the God of our peace, is going to allow you to go through what you're going through forever. Don't be afraid of God of truth and righteousness, Jehovah Sikkenu, the God of our righteousness will set us free. And then El Shaddai, the God Almighty, the God who lovingly supplies and comforts us, will come see about us. There's a famine in the land, people, and we got to turn from what we've been doing. Somebody might say, well, I didn't do anything. Why am I going through this? We can say it and think it, but it doesn't mean it's true. The word says, I don't know, the word says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The word says that God allows some things that He might get the glory. You see, in John 9:2, a man blind from birth came to Jesus. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did this sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered them in verse 3 when He says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the work of God will be displayed in him. Don't be afraid when trouble come. Repent, fast, and turn your face to God. The second thing that God instructed Joel to tell the people, be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done great things. Even though it's difficult, rejoice anyhow. Even though your heart is broken, cry tears of joy. Even though you're in sorrow, praise God anyhow. Why? Because God has done great things in your life before, and he's able to do it again. Why? Because God is the mender of broken hearts. He is the lifter up of bowed down heads. Why? Because God loves you, and he wants to bring you out of your drought. Ask God to help you. Give me a spirit of praise, oh God. I'm going through. My family is going through. My community is going through. Lord, we're going through. But God, I know that you're able. I know that you can bring me out of this thing. You and you alone, God, can work this out. You and you alone, God, can bring us out. Lord, you alone can stop the locust, the canker worm, and the palmer worm, the caterpillar, from destroying our lives. You, God, I give praise. You, God, I give glory. You, God, I give honor. Oh, God, I lift up your holy and righteous name. The Lord asked Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? Ezekiel says, you alone know. Be glad and give God praise because he's about to give you a miracle. Somebody in here is in need of a miracle today. I told the earlier service, I don't know who it was and I don't need to know, but I know because God spoke it to me. Somebody needs a miracle today. He's standing in the road looking for his people, like the father of the prodigal son, waiting for his son to turn the corner and come on back home. Somebody in here needs a miracle today. You've been in a drought a long time. You've been praying. You've been asking God, help me, God. But the Lord sent me here today to tell you, if you would pray, if you would fast, and if you would come before him with a repentant heart, that he's going to give you a miracle today. He's going to pull you up out of that place of lowliness and set your feet on a higher ground. Somebody is going to get a miracle today. The third word that God gave Joel to prophesy, he said, tell the wild animals, be not afraid, for the open pastures are becoming green. Even nature and animals need a revival. You see, we need the bees to live so that they can pollinate the crop for food. We need the birds to fly and drop seedlings so that trees will spring up and our ecosystem will be balanced. We need fish to swim and multiply that we might have food. God loves his creation, but we take everything for granted and act like it's going to last forever. God told Adam, I gave you rule over all living things. Take care of them and they will take care of you. God even said to the animals, be not afraid. I am going to restore the land. The fourth word of prophecy that God gave to Joel to say that the drought is over now. The trees will bear fruit and the vine will yield a harvest. Somebody needs to hear that today. Your tree will bear fruit again, and your vine will yield resources. Somebody's tree has been barren for a long time, bearing no fruit, but God has pruned you. You know you've been cut deep, and he's removed those branches and those limbs that serve no purpose. Maybe it's a friend that you don't need, a broke down situation you needed to walk up out of. God says, I pruned you. Somebody's tree has been taking up space, making excuse after excuse for not bearing fruit. But God has shown you you can't do it on your own. Now, if you would turn to me, you will bear fruit again. Somebody's vine is not bearing any grapes today. But God is giving you a new start in this new year. And your vine will bear if you will stay connected to the source, Jesus, who is our Christ. Tell them the drought is coming to an end, and the trees will bear fruit again, and the vines will yield a harvest. Finally, as I prepare to take my seat, God told Israel, I have given you the autumn and the spring rain, a double portion. Somebody's getting a double portion of a blessing. Just hang in there with me for a minute. I'm going to explain what God said. I researched what God was saying about the autumn and the spring rain. What I found out is that in the spring rain, also known as the former rain, comes right after we plant our seed. The former rain, the spring rain, represents grace. We as believers in Jesus Christ receive help for our seed of faith to take root and grow. This is called grace. It's the former rains, the spring rains that come right after your seed had been planted and supply living water. The Holy Spirit walks with us and talks with us. It is in the former rains, the spring rains, that cause our seeds to have strength to grab a hold to the soil, the word where the nutrients is found, so that we might begin to grow. I'm a child of a farmer. My dad farmed. And in March, just before the former rains, he would go and get the new almanac. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm not the only one from the South or had some farming parents. He would go and get the almanac. And he would read and look to see when was the best time to drop the seed in the ground. And once the seed got dropped into the ground, he could expect at some time that the spring rains would come. Planting was usually in March, and April was when we would get the rain, the showers that would cause the plants to take root. It is in the former rains that our roots grow and they take hold of the ground. Now, there is a period between former rain and latter rain. It is in the in-between time that we got to be careful about. You see, God plants the seed in us. And if we're not careful, the locust, the adversary, the old friends, the old habits, the old thinking will come back and cause us to destroy the seed that God has planted in our hearts. He will come and try to uproot and keep you from producing. Demonic spirits will come and steal the seed from your heart. Sometimes the storms of life, sandstorms, wind storms, that will rip young plants out of its place. They are lost because their roots are not strong enough to hold. Sometimes the season of drought seems so long. We begin to doubt and fear, and the seeds cease to draw from the life-giving living waters. These things come to keep you and me from living out the purpose and plan of our life that God has for us. But I say to you today, if you stay the course, grace will abound. If you stay the course, just like God's word says, Jesus speaking says, my Father has given me them, meaning you and me. Unto me is greater than all those adversaries that might come up against you. And no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. We got the blessed assurance that if we stay the course, that even when the enemy come up against us, if we would just call out on the name of Jesus, if we would remember the one who gave his life for us and say, Jesus, I can't do it no more by myself. Jesus, I need you right now, God. Jesus, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Jesus, they're coming up against me. They're lying on me. They're telling untruths about me, oh God. Lord, they're laying traps for me, God. Come, Lord Jesus, come. according to the history, Israel could anticipate an unusual great rain just before the harvest. This is called the latter rain. This rainfall greatly increased the crops just before harvesting. Now, spiritually, it means that the seed that received grace in the former rains, if they hold on, receive a fresh pour down of anointing through the Holy Spirit in the latter rains. The same rain Jesus told his disciples to wait for. For this latter rain could be compared to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. Somebody will get that when you get home. You'll have a Pentecost experience. Now, the practical living application says, this latter rain comes to bring us out of our struggle, to help us to hold on in these trying situations, and to help us to withstand the attacks of the enemy. The latter rains come to enable us to produce a great harvest. Paul said in Galatians 6 and 9, and let them not be weary in well-doing, but in due season we shall reap what we sow if we do not faint. The Lord just dropped into my spirit, somebody been working on their job a long time, and nobody's even thought to raise them up or give them a promotion. But I stand here to tell you today, hold on and don't you faint. You just stay right there and do your job. And the Lord is going to raise you up and move them obstacles out the way. The latter rain is coming, and there's going to be a double portion. And when we come out of under the oppression of sin, when we seek God, when we repent and turn back to God, away from the idolatrous life, the Lord will hear us. The drought is over now. It's on its way out. A double portion is coming. The former rains, the latter rains. God says, when the drought will be over. Don't you give up. Too many of us don't hold out long enough to just, we just receive the former rains and give up before our latter rain season. When the latter rain comes, God says, and the threshing floor will be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the canker worms and the caterpillars and the palmer worms, my great army, which I sent among you. But ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, that has dealt wondrously with you. My people shall never be ashamed. I don't know about you, but that's good news today. The Lord will provide. Not only is he going to provide, but he's going to restore what you lost. Every dime they kept from you when they didn't give you a raise, the Lord's going to give you that in a double portion. You might be in a waiting period between the former and latter rains, but don't you faint. The anointing is coming and a pour out upon your situation to bring an overflow of harvest. You see, the Lord will give us grace. He'll give us mercy. He'll give us favor. He'll give us blessings, restoration, plenty to the overflow. When God brings you out your drought, don't you forget to bring your tithes into his house. When he blesses you with resources, share with somebody who is in need. When he restores your health, come and serve in the house of the Lord. When he brings your children out of darkness, come and give him the praise. When God opens the door of opportunity, make a way out of no way. I want you to give your testimony so that somebody else will know that we serve a God that's able to do anything but fail. He's an awesome God. He will take a bowed down head and lift it up. He will lift you up from your sick bed. The Lord will open doors that nobody else can open. He will shut doors in your life that need to be closed. The Lord will bless you beyond your measure of your own imagination. The Lord is able. In those last two verses in our New Testament scripture, James chapter 5, verses 7 through 8, it says, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord is coming near." I'm so glad when it is all said and done. Those of us who have given our lives to the Lord, one day he's coming back for a church with no stain or wrinkle. I am so glad that Jesus came that the drought won't last always. He said it in his word, "I came that you might have life and have it abundantly." I'm so glad today that Jesus was obedient to the cross at Calvary so that you and I could repent and be free of our sins. I am so glad that the blood of Christ is stronger than any drought. I'm so glad today that the nails couldn't hold him. I'm so glad when they put him in a borrowed tomb, he woke up early on Easter morning and got up out of that borrowed tomb. I'm so glad that because of Christ, the power to send the canker worm of sickness away is available to us. I'm so glad that the power that keeps the locust from destroying the fruit of our vine, our children, because of Christ. There's power in Jesus to keep the palmer worm who comes to steal, kill, and destroy our marriages. The power of God who keeps the caterpillar from destroying our future. The power of God keeps the evil one from breaking up our families. I want somebody to get to their feet today and say, "Power to rejuvenate, power to revive, power to restore." Somebody claim the victory today. Somebody say, "Jesus, I thank you today. Jesus, there's nobody like you." Fruit are beginning to grow on my tree. Hey, claim it. Fruit. Resources are beginning to come forth. The drought is over now. My body is healed right now in the name of Jesus. My children are coming around the corner right now in the name of Jesus. My finances are turning around. Greater is coming my way. Oh, yes, Jesus. The drought is over now. The holding pattern that kept me stuck is releasing me right now. My help, the anointing of God, is covering me right now. Lord, I thank you. When we started out on this journey, Lord, the Lord says, "Repent, fast, pray, and the drought will be lifted." And when you've done this, I will lift the drought. I'm going to bless you to the overflow. Somebody needs to know today that no matter what it looks like right now, God is saying that the drought is over. The overflow is coming. I want you to get your vax ready. I want you to start preparing for the overflow. I want you to act like you know God's gonna do it. If it's a job you want, go at home and spruce up your resume. Get your clothes straight and say, "God, I got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'm ready so when the job come, I can go." Get your vax ready. Talk to your children and bring them into the house of the Lord that he might pour into them and change their life forever. And if they didn't come, if they're grown, I got a grown son. I know he believes in God, but I'm praying every day that he'll walk back through those doors. The drought is over. Whatever the locusts and the canker worms tried to destroy, God promised me he will restore. Somebody needs to know the drought is over now. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet.